We begin our sermon with yet one more rhetorical question. Do I have faith? In this particular case, this is not a rhetorical question directed entirely at me. It's not just about whether I have faith or not. This is not going to be a few minutes of me struggling with anything. It's more the I in the collective sense. Do I have faith? Do we all have faith? Do each of us have faith? And as we read in, or was read for us in the book of Hebrews, we have an excellent little definition of faith for us that is not Mark Twain's famous definition of faith, that faith is believing in something you know isn't true. That's not what it is. In this translation, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So what does that mean? Faith is one of these tricky things, as many of the intangibles that make life worth living are. Faith is not something that's easily amenable to a mathematical equation or an objective measurement, for example, any more than most of the things that really make us human, like courage, and love, and sacrifice. Some of these things are what we recognize them when we see them. But how do we know? And so I was asking myself this question, do I have faith? Because I think it's a worthwhile question for us to ask every once in a while. And I'm not talking so much about do I have faith in, the mechanical abilities of my car or the ongoing ability of our various levels of government to provide infrastructure services. I'm not talking about that sort of thing. Although there's worthwhile questions in there too. I'm talking more about the faith that we encounter on an ongoing basis in Scripture. And in this, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, frequently referred to as the faith chapter, we have a bunch of different ways of thinking about faith and some things that can at least shape our self-examination. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is one of those things that is frequently confirmed by experience. But if we wait for experience to then have faith, we're putting the cart before the horse. In verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." There are all kinds of reasons for us to disagree with people inside and outside the faith about all kinds of things. And one of the sharpest disagreements that I happen to encounter in the rest of my life is where everything came from. And there is a strong stream of people in the church, sisters and brothers that we would be delighted to worship with, who are spending a tremendous amount of time trying to demonstrate through scientific measures of one sort or another that the creation actually happened. And I don't want to dismiss what they do in any way, and I certainly don't want to come across as being unkind, but I think they could probably spend their time in other ways that would be more profitable. Because it doesn't matter where the universe came from in a very real sense, because it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command." The details of that might be worthy of a hobby, and figuring out how that universe works is part of sort of the scientific process that has brought us so much progress that we're happy about. But trying to figure out exactly what happened back then, I'm just not sure it's worth our time. Not because the question is fundamentally unanswerable, although there are some people who think it is, but more because we look at the universe that we have, and on the basis of the faith we have in God, we say, yeah, you made this. How? I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. In much the same way that whether God comes back in whatever physical form that's going to be, if it happens in 100 years or 1,000 years, it doesn't make any difference to me either. I'm living in my own end times right now. I don't have to figure out when that kind of stuff's happening. Because by faith, I know that God is going to return in some way and remake this world into the world of perfection that it was created as. I have faith in those things, not because I can point to a particular cause and effect, but because I believe in them. Now, believing in things, having faith in things, doesn't mean that there is no evidence. It doesn't mean that it's just a matter of standing in a corner and working really hard at believing things. When it says by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, we're going to stick with that one for at least a little bit. We believe it because it makes sense of so many things. It doesn't explain everything, maybe, but it's not intended to explain everything. It's intended to help us see that the universe began with God creating it so that he would have us in it. That he created the universe for us so that we could be here and be in relationship with him. You don't have to understand everything about physics to know about relationships. And how it all happened in the first place is less important than the reality of our relationship with God that creates that sense of confirmation that what it says in Scripture is true. It sounds like a circle. Like it sounds like circular reasoning if you're not paying attention to it. And people will dismiss a lot of this as saying, oh, that's nonsense. We do have other places where this works. In every relationship we've ever had, how do you prove somebody loves you? Well, as I'm sure I've said before, you can't. You can't prove that somebody loves you. There is virtually no example you can give that I can't explain away. I was reflecting a little while ago on when I was younger, I was a debater, like in competition debates, and it did all kinds of really good things. Some not so good. For young people who aren't fully, like whose brains aren't fully formed, it creates a sense that everything is relative because in debates, you don't know which side you're going to get. You walk into the debate room, you meet your opponent, you chat a little bit. The judge flips a coin and says, okay, you're in favor of this and you're opposed to it. Go. You never know. So you have this sense that everything's relative. Thankfully, you grow out of that and realize, no. But one of the things that it did do for me is it gave me an ability to sort of look at things from multiple sides, which is often quite helpful. But when we think of people who say, well, I'm in love with this person, there's nothing that you can come up with that can't be explained away in some other way. Well, you know, we work together. Well, that's an economic thing. Well, you know, we have kids. Yeah, well, that's just so you'll have somebody to take care of you when you're old. You can explain them all away. Is it right? No, of course not. We're in love because we love each other. And we love each other, and because we love each other, we're in love. That's another circle. But it's as real as anything. And we all know it. If I have faith in the creation of the universe, I don't have to necessarily be able to lay out chapter and verse in a physics textbook any more than I have to be able to lay out chapter and verse in a counseling textbook to demonstrate that my wife and I love each other. My kids and I love each other. We believe it because it's true. But do I have faith? I look at the list of the things in Hebrews 11, and I think, wow, Abraham, called to go to a place he would later receive. He went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He went to a strange place and lived in tents. He was looking forward to a city. Abraham and Sarah, even though they couldn't have kids, believed they could have kids, and then they did. I think, where do I fit in there? Is this what faith is supposed to look like? Is this the only... Like, is this what we need to do if we're looking at our life and saying, well, do I have faith? Well, when was the last time I believed that I needed to go somewhere as a stranger and live there? When we look at the rest of chapter 11, all of those things that are in there, we just think, I'm not like that. And maybe you are, and maybe you've had opportunities to exercise faith in a profound and significant way, and that's terrific. And I look at that and I say, well, if that's not me, does it mean that I actually have faith? And yes, it does. Because one of the things that we need to remember is that we are who we are in the time we are, which makes us unique and our experience with God unique. And those areas where we need to exercise faith are likewise going to be unique. We all exercise faith that we understand the universe was formed by God. But after that, hardly any of us are called to pull up stakes and go somewhere where we don't know anything. But have any of us ever been called to believe that God cares enough for our children that even in the midst of the bad decisions they're making, that God still loves them? That it will work out in some way that makes sense to God, even if we don't see it quite yet? Is that so much less work than pulling up stakes and going somewhere? I don't think so. The faith that I have that my children will do okay doesn't come from a spreadsheet of their talents, their abilities, against their character defects. My faith in the reality that my children will be okay is that God loves them, as He loves us all. That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. I don't think it was easy for Abraham. Imagine Abraham. I mean, it's tough enough moving from one city to another where, you know, your biggest problems are setting up your utilities and getting your cable hooked up. It wasn't easy for him. It's not easy for us. When we are following God as best we understand into a situation that doesn't look good, whether it's financial or relational or whatever it might be, if we stick that out, is that so much less profound than Abraham pulling up stakes? Than Sarah believing, even if she laughed a little bit, that she would have a baby even though she was old? I don't think so. I think the exercise of faith is the exercise of faith, and I think when you're exercising it, it's a lot like, you know, if you have two balloons and one is twice as big as the other, which one is more full? Not which one has more air. Which one's, well, they're both full. They're full of air. They're equally full in that they are completely full. The faith that I exercise to you might look like a trivial thing, or it might look like a massive thing. And the reverse might be true as well. But the faith that I'm called to exercise is that faith that's specific to me. And how do I know I have faith? Well, am I sure of what I hope for and certain of what I don't see? I hope all kinds of things for my children. I hope they'd finish high school. And they did. They're one up on me there. I hope they wouldn't start smoking, which I did. And they didn't, so they're one up on me there too. As I sometimes said because I used to tell them, these are the things you have to do. You have to finish high school and you can't start smoking. It never crossed my mind to say you can't have a baby, you know, when you're really young. Do I have faith enough that God is going to work this out for them? Well, what do I hope for? And what am I certain of? I hope for my children, as I think most of us do, that they live lives of meaning that are satisfying and challenging to them, that they have relationships that are fulfilling and worthwhile. Can I be sure of that? How does this happen? Well, it doesn't happen by chance. It happens by how they're raised. It happens by a lot of things. But it happens through the Holy Spirit working in their lives and the lives of those people around them. Can I be certain of that? Well, as I said, sometimes we don't get any kind of confirmation of our faith. Sometimes we do. Abraham did, as far as the children goes. But did Abraham know that At one point, he would have descendants that numbered beyond the stars in the sky. Of course not. He didn't know that, but he continued to have faith in that. Sometimes the things we have faith in are confirmed after we've had faith in them, which makes it easier to continue to have faith in other things. And when I think of my children, I think of some of the struggles that they've gone through and all that, and I think, oh, is this going to work out? You keep your eyes open for some confirmation. Well, a year and a half ago or so, Haley was taking a photography class, and someone contacted the professor and said they were going to be in town doing some shooting. Was there somebody who would be able to drive them around? And Haley said, sure. So she volunteered for this, and in the end, she actually got paid, which was nice. But, you know, she got to hang out with a professional photographer, a freelance photographer, watch how she worked, and enjoyed that whole process of this is what you're looking for. And she learned a lot. It was great. It was an excellent experience. Well, about 2.5 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, she got a text from this photographer who said, do you have any pictures of, you know, Regina, sort of, you know, night, kind of rundown, anything like that? I said, well, I don't know. I can take a look. I can go take some. So she went and took some. And so if you get McLean's, Haley's picture's on the cover of McLean. That's confirmation of the faith I have that her chosen career path into the arts, photography, painting, is a good one. Hardly any of us want our children to be impecunious artists. That's who she is. She has to create the way I have to teach. She does it in all these different ways, and sometimes she, you know, she paints and she does things for, you know, for weeks and weeks at a time, and they don't, you know, nobody buys them. She doesn't have anybody to take pictures of. It'd be tempting to lose faith, but then every once in a while we get these confirmations that pop up. This is how it is in all of the things that we have of faith. It's rare for anyone to sort of achieve an adult's years without having moments of wondering whether God actually loves you, whether he's trustworthy, whether you're hearing him correctly, whether your faith is well-placed or misplaced. This is just part of being alive. It just happens. Maybe it doesn't happen to everybody, but virtually everybody has these kind of struggles. And we persevere and we push on and we believe anyway. And sometimes we get confirmation of it. But that's the confirmation of the faith we already have. That doesn't give us the faith that we don't have in the first place. In other places in Scripture, it tells us that faith is a gift from God, as everything is, from our very lives themselves. So do I have faith? Well, what am I being sure of that I can't ensure happens on my own? Is there anything? If there isn't, then maybe I don't have faith. But there is. And what am I certain of that I can't see? Those are the questions I ask myself, and I commend to you to ask as well. Is everything that I do in my life, everything I believe in, under my control? The answer is yes. Then where is faith? And where am I stepping out? Where might I be led in new places? And what am I certain of that I don't see? Well, I'm certain that God loves me. I can see that most of the time, but there are days when I don't. I'm certain that God loves my family. I'm certain that even in the midst of the chaos and the violence that we see all around the world, that God is in control somehow, even if I don't understand it all. I can't see God's control any more than any of us can. My belief in it, my faith in it, is part of what keeps me going. Do I have faith? Well, yes, I do. And I'm sure you do as well. Can we have more? Of course. But we begin with what we have and we grow from there. And Hebrews 11 gives us an opportunity to rethink again, and to ponder that question, do I have faith? And to come to the answer that yes, yes I do. Amen.